This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. Dentists are in a tough spot. They have to address serious, intense pain in their patients, and the nation is in the middle of a major drug epidemic, fueled in part by overprescription of painkillers. So this has dentists looking for new approaches, and they're coming up with some surprisingly simple solutions. Here's Alana Gordon.
Firsts can be life-changing. Think about your first kiss, your first time behind the wheel of a car. But what about the first time you got a prescription for a narcotic? It's not hard to find this answer, wandering around the college area of West Philadelphia.
I had Vicodin for my wisdom teeth, and I know I got 5 teeth taken out, so they gave me that, yeah.
When I got my wisdom teeth out 2 years ago,
I got my wisdom teeth taken out in August, and I was prescribed Percocet a lot.
What do you mean a lot?
Like 20 pills.
This really shouldn't come as a surprise. Each year, some 3.5 million young adults get their wisdom teeth out. James Hatzell didn't realize it at the time, but it was a pivotal moment for him.
I was very excited to get my wisdom teeth out.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Hatzell distinctly remembers that spring day, his junior year of high school in South Jersey. He was en route with mom to what one would typically imagine to be a very, very terrible thing. But again,
we're in our 2001 Honda Odyssey minivan, you know, driving to the dentist, and we get there, and I'm just like pumped.
This was almost 7 years ago. Hatzell was 17, and he knew that after the dentist cut out his molars, not only would he get to sit around and eat ice cream, he'd get his very own bottle of pain pills.
I'm like, all right, let's do this thing. And they hook me up to the morphine drip, and they say count backwards from 10. And I started counting backwards.
Up till then, pills seemed kind of scary to Hatzell. He'd actually tried Vicodin before, somewhat cautiously. Friends of his would find an extra pill in a medicine cabinet at home. They'd crush it, mix it with pot, and share it. This was different. For the first time, a health professional was going to say, here, this is okay to take. In fact, it will help you. On the way home, Hatzell was still high from the drugs given during the procedure, but he could not wait to pop that first pill. His mom noticed.
You know, she's like sort of like looking at me a little bit concerned on how much I'm enjoying this.
He turned up a certain Pink Floyd song.
And I'm like sitting there in the car with my mouth full of cotton balls and gauze. There's like blood coming out, right? Because I'd just gotten surgery and that's what happens. Just like totally into it, loving it. And we got home and my mom took the pills and was like, you can't have these.
So that was it.
Well, no, that was not it.
Hatzell was livid. The dentist had prescribed those pain pills to him. But being the trickster kid that he was, he knew exactly where that bottle was hidden. Mom's jewelry drawer. He had a plan for not getting caught.
So I empty all the pills out.
He emptied out the pills and replaced them with Advil. Mom had no idea.
I'm just like, you know, I start taking them.
You're like every parent's worst nightmare.
Yes, I definitely was every parent's worst nightmare.
Hatzell says he can joke about this now, but nothing about what happened to him or his family was funny then. That prescription would mark the start of a downward spiral, one that would include being arrested for dealing drugs in college. He nearly lost everything. Up until that point, he'd only dabbled with pills.
I had never had a large quantity of them that I could just take as much as I wanted. And it was sort of like a defining moment in my addiction or my downfall where I thought that that became okay.
Dentists have been frequent prescribers of opioids like Vicodin and Percocet to address acute short-term pain. But it's often tough to figure out when these strong, potentially addictive pain meds are appropriate.
You're going to use this hand piece to remove the bone that's on top of it.
One person on the front lines of this is Dr. Joel Funeri. He extracts wisdom teeth on a regular basis in his oral surgery practice in Devon, Pennsylvania. So get ready, because he's about to drill into a college-age guy's impacted wisdom tooth to remove it.
Okay, go ahead.
When he started as a dentist, Funeri says it was not that unusual for people in his field to prescribe a bottle of 30 or more strong narcotics to someone after taking out their wisdom teeth.
Dentists don't like to see patients in pain. They want to get them out of pain. You know, we tend to be compassionate people, and I think we were falling into a trap that we were creating ourselves.
A trap of excessive prescribing. Dr. Funeri is part of a group that's been trying to address this. It's developed state guidelines for dentists on opioid prescribing. And looking at the research, he realized something he had long suspected.
That the Motrins, the Advils, the Aleves, when used in a certain way, were very effective, more effective than the narcotics.
Because wisdom teeth removal is done so often, it's actually been an ideal procedure to study the benefits of this approach. But
that has not filtered down to the level of the general dentist or even the smaller practices and some of the subspecialties. And that's basically where we're going now.
The guidelines are the state's first on prescribing narcotics for dental patients. Other states and the National Dental Association are moving in the same direction. There's also an effort to work on additional education for patients and require training for dentists. But one challenge is countering long-held perceptions.
The opioids have a lot of hype.
Elliot Hirsch is a professor of pharmacology and oral surgery at the University of Pennsylvania and is a leading researcher on postoperative dental pain. He says anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen,
they don't have as much hype. Why? Because they're available over the counter. And what a lot of the lay public believe is that if they're available over the counter, they're weak and they don't work.
He takes a hardline approach in the classroom with future dentists.
I've been teaching my students that you have to be really, really careful with these drugs, that if you write too many of these drugs for either good intentions or bad intentions, either the state dental board and or the DEA is going to come down on you.
But even so, none of this is an exact science. Every patient's response to pain is unique. Hirsch has found that around 20% of patients still need a combination of both anti-inflammatory medication and narcotics to control it. But here's the problem.
The patients are still numb when we prescribe. So we don't know who that 20% is going to be that also requires an opioid added on.
A doctor may have a sense of what's to come, depending on what happened during surgery. But why some patients feel more pain than others is still a mystery. And it all means that dentists may end up writing a prescription for at least some opioids to be on the safe side.
You know, they use one or two, and then there's eight left over.
And these leftover drugs can be part of the problem. It was for James Hatzell. He's been in recovery for 3 years now. And along the way, he's seen other peers take a darker turn.
What it's like graduating high school in the 2000s or the 2010s is your classmates die. They overdose on drugs and they die. You'll see in the obituary, died suddenly, died in their sleep. Or, you know, there'll be some courageous families who will actually publicly state that they died of an overdose.
So for him, one of the most terrifying thoughts as he navigates his own addiction is that one day he might need surgery, that his ACL might rip, or that he'll develop a bad tooth infection. But it's not the actual rip or the procedure itself that frightens him. It's the drugs.
Because I don't want to take any at all. But, you know, I might be put in a situation where it's medically appropriate for me, and I don't want to have to make that decision.
Nowadays, Hatzell makes it a point whenever he goes to the dentist to say right up front that he cannot take narcotics. Pennsylvania and New Jersey have databases now that will show dentists a patient's prescription history. There's a push for a national database. The next step is how dentists will use that information. That's something they're still working on. For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.
We just heard from Jimmy Hatzell, his story of addiction and recovery, and he mentioned his mom in his story. And that got me thinking, what is she saying about all of this and how he deceived her? So let's give her a call.
Hello?
Hi, is this Jimmy's mom?
Yes. Yes, Jimmy's mom.
Hi, Sylvia, right?
Yes.
So, Sylvia, Jimmy told this story about the pills he got from the dentist when he got his wisdom teeth out. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned that he was perhaps too excited about getting those pills, and you took them from him, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any idea he got them anyway? He switched them out?
No, I did not. I think he just told me this, like, you know, when he came back from talking to you.
Right. Were you mad?
I laughed. I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I would, like, if it was 3 years ago or, you know, I would not have thought that was funny.
What are some things you've learned going through all of this?
Well, I guess it's changed us as a family. When you have a child like this, you know, we were kind of suspicious in high school, but you don't know if it's immaturity or if it's a phase or, you know, if he's just going to grow out of it. You just don't know. Like, you don't want to believe that it's a problem because you think you don't want that for them. But, you know, when his life came crashing down a couple years later, you know, it was a very isolating experience. It was really hard. It was hard.
Yeah.
Like, people don't know how to respond to you, you know what I mean? Because they know something happened, but it's not like, you know, they bring you casseroles because, you know, your child has cancer. It's, oh, you know, he's got a problem. And they don't know how to react to you. So you hide, really, you know?
How has this experience affected you and your life, your career, what you do?
Well, we became activist parents. So, you just want to hear one person, just one person tell you that it's possible that it's going to be okay. And so that's what I do. So I started doing that, and I really like doing that because I love giving people a message of hope because there is, you know, there's a lot of hope. I mean, recovery, everybody talks about addiction. Nobody talks about recovery, and recovery is beautiful. And so I was always thinking of doing something different, and I thought, well, maybe I'll change careers. And, you know, and so that's what I'm taking classes now, and we'll see.
Taking classes in what?
I am going for a master's in social work.
Well, good luck with that, and thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's Sylvia Hatzel. She is the mom of James Hatzel, who is now 3 years into his recovery. Did you like this story? Subscribe to our podcast. It's on iTunes.